One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes.
One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar, and they're both assholes.
Asher Brothers Podcast coming every week. Sit down, kick back, and take a little peek into their lives. Their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. Kirk and Kyle Asher sitting around gabbing, talking about nothing and what's going on in their lives. Their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped.
Thanks again, Mike Clements, for making that theme song oh so long ago. That began a journey of over 100 episodes and a sister podcast, NYPD Blue Balls. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, listeners. Kyle isn't here this week, and I really couldn't scrape together anything really that great. So what I decided to do was give you guys an uncut version of an episode of NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 13, Abandonado, Abandoned. Just in case you're actually interested in what's going on, you can see how different me and Kyle usually are versus the edited version. Or you can just not listen to this and not care. Choice is yours. Choose wisely.
I love how I pressed record and you're opening a goddamn Nesquik. The loudest.
You ready?
Also, I love how GarageBand changed the colors of all the shit in their program, so now it's impossible to see how well the levels are when you have it playing.
You can probably adjust them somehow, you just haven't put the time into it.
Yeah, you just haven't put the time into it. testing the levels like Frank Sinatra. Alright, you ready to go?
Yeah, I was ready like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, well, you gotta stop crunkling shit. You gotta stop crunkling and eating and farting and making noise. You gotta... Oh my gosh. Are you having a brownie and drinking Nesquik?
I'm having a donut. Drinking Nesquik. Difference.
God, I could hear the diabetes. eating a donut, drinking a Nesquik. Diabetes.
Go fuck yourself. Let's go.
We're starting a third show called Diabetes with Kyle. Okay. Jesus. So much weird noise. Okay. I'm going right now. NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 13, Abandonado, Abandoned. We opened up, and Greg Medavoy is at Abandonado's place.
Yeah, really awkwardly, too.
He just shows up and basically goes, "Hey, how are you?" And then it's like, "Oh, I'm great. I'm in a bathrobe naked." And he goes,
"Watching the Rangers."
And then he's like,
casually.
And then he just drops the knowledge so quickly. Yeah, I moved out of my house and I left my wife
because I want to fuck you.
But that's the thing that's weird about Medavoy, because Medavoy is such a dog. Like he's such a purely anxiety driven. Befuddled dude.
Yeah, he's stepping out of his zone a little bit.
So he basically tells her, like, "Look, man, like, I left my wife because I feel like we're just not with it anymore, and I have these feelings for you." And then she basically just strips off, and then all the blood rushes to his wiener because he can't speak.
Because
he goes, "Obe, obe," and she's like, "Obe?" And he's like, "Oh boy." Like he's like a 10-year-old kid.
Like some of the writing in the beginning is really dumb. And that's like one of the lines, I think, but I mean, good for him. I mean, he's definitely going up.
We meet his wife much later, right? Much later.
You meet her, I think, in season 2.
But he basically is like, "I left my wife and kids, I'm so bad, I'm hung up about it, and I don't even know if you're interested." And she goes, "I'm interested." He like lays the most awkward kiss on her.
Kirk, you're just being like so nonchalant about the fact. He's like, "Oh yeah, I left my wife and kids."
No, but no.
He basically says like, "I left my wife and kids because your veg is like so powerful, I wanted to break up my family." Basically like he's like, "You're the reason like my daughters are gonna become strippers." is because I'd rather break up the family dynamic.
No, no.
Then they get a chance to fuck you instead.
They try so hard to make it seem like he's doing it for good reasons. He's doing it because he doesn't, like, feel the same way about his wife anymore, and his wife doesn't seem to care. But then the rest of the episode, the thing of the episode is, he finds out that, like, his kids' lives are really affected by it, and he can't do it to his whole family.
But that was my kind of question. Like, did he not know that by leaving it was going to affect his kids' lives? Because he acts like surprised by it.
Yeah, and then at the end of the episode, when he talks to Abandondo, he's like, "Oh well, I'm going to have to get back with my wife. She said we'll work it out." And then she basically, that's the funny part of the episode to me, is Abandondo says, "Look, I was messing around with a married man once. He was a ranger, yeah. And I swore never again."
I'm never again doing that.
So basically they're not together at the end of the episode, which is kind of a weird, like, just detour in the lives of Greg Medavoy and Abandondo.
Yeah.
They just had, like, a fling, and now he's going to go back to his wife. And he even goes, "Look, I don't want you to think that I did this just to get in your pants." Which, it looks exactly like what he did. No matter...
Well, I don't think it was. I think you were right.
No, it isn't. It just looks so conveniently like that, but that's not the case. He's too, like, goody-two-shoes to do that.
But we also get something that I think's really random. And that's, like, a new character.
Yeah.
And they immediately murder her husband.
They introduce a character just to murder her husband. They go, "Hi, this is LaSalle." He's like, "Oh, John Kelly really speaks highly of you." He's like, "Oh, I think highly of John Kelly." He's like, "Can I just bring my husband to lunch?"
And then Sipowicz is like, "I think really highly of her husband. Like, he's Danny DeLuca." Like, he says something along the lines. He's like, "Is she the real deal?" And he's like, and Kelly's like, "Yeah, she is." And he's just like, "She better be if she's like Danny DeLuca's wife."
And then they go to lunch.
He's obviously not that good of a police officer because he got shot.
Well, he got shot. I mean, I don't know if we should talk. Like, basically, LaSalle comes in. She's from Special Victims. And she meets everybody. And then she goes to lunch with her husband. And then a robbery takes place.
Do you think she trained Mariska Hargitay's character?
Mariska Hargitay? No, I don't. I don't think there's crossover.
Like, that was her, like, mentor.
But I do think she trained Ice Cube.
Ice tea.
Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. I don't remember the individual.
It's okay, you just woke up.
I don't remember the individual ices. Wait,
Ice tea, there's Ice Cube, there's Vanilla.
Wait, he's the one that's also in, he's not the one that's in, Are We There Yet? That's a different Ice.
That's Ice Cube.
The guy who used to hate cops and shoot people with AKs, now he's doing family programming. That guy. Anyway, they go to lunch, and then a robbery breaks off, and they immediately go into cop mode. But Danny DeLuca comes out and immediately points his gun at the black guy in the car, not the actual robbers, and gets shot.
Thank you. That's the first thing I thought about was.
Is it racist? Yeah, is it racist that he comes outside and goes, "Oh, there's a robbery taking place? Black guy in a car. It has to be him."
So then he gets shot in the back like 6 times.
And LaSalle, they have that like very sad moment where LaSalle's like, "Call an ambulance," and people are...
But it's so weird. Like, why bring in this character and then immediately like murder her husband?
I think it's just to get like a dramatic... It's just to get a dramatic, insane plot twist into your show, but not affect your other characters, because they're already dealing with their own shit.
So what I thought the first time I saw this is the reason they brought her in, and they have this thing happen, and then Kelly talks to the boys, was going to set up, like, later on, her... fucking Kelly, you know, like I thought that was gonna happen. But can we talk about who LaSalle is? LaSalle is the lady from Sister Act.
She's also
really quiet.
Famous faces. I need to look up her name. The reason that her face immediately jumps out at me is not only Sister Act, Kyle, but Air Bud.
It's Wendy McKenna.
Yeah, if you look into her known fors, it's Sister Act.
She did a lot more than just that. She did Eight Men Out. She did Sister Act 2, Air Bud. She was on Rizzoli and Isles. She's done some NCIS. She's like a good character actor. But
Do any of those movies or television shows feature a dog playing basketball, Kyle?
But I know her from Sister Act. That's where I know her from.
It was a real bummer that she didn't show up for Golden Receiver, but... But, I mean... I'm sure. I don't think
she was
the money.
An Eight Men Out. Anyway, so yeah, but she's so her husband dies, which gives us a chance to see Kelly like lay it on thick with the boys because he lost his dad.
Oh yeah, with the little boys.
Because... Yeah, and he's like buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies.
A little pedophile-y because he was like, you know, buddies, whisper tough again. Buddies, stay in touch. Come on, guys, buddies, hug. Buddy's hug.
Well,
it was like super, super pedophile-y, but
there was, I don't know who it was. It was some comedian on a different podcast or somebody. Like our culture, like our in the state of the country that we're in, pedophilia is like at the forefront of our minds because of the scandal with the Catholic Church. Like all these random celebrities, you come to find out they're pedophiles. So, like, when we see anything like that, our immediate thought is, like, okay.
Did you just hear that, like, a dude that was once the Speaker of the House just got arrested for, like, child pornography? Or
yeah,
child
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So
politicians, too.
So, it's, like, the second he, like, gets down to their level and he's like, I'll take care of the kids, and she goes to cry for a minute because she lost her husband.
And they're all Catholic. Most cops are Catholic back then.
Well, most
like
New
Irish
York,
and shit.
New York cops, I would say. No. Polish. Sipwitz, Polish guy. And then, what's it? Oh, what's her name? Kostas. She's straight up Greek Orthodox.
Yeah. She's just a weirdo, though. That religion's weird.
That one's weird. That Greek Orthodox nonsense.
Nah, I don't get that shit at all.
Also... That spurs a manhunt because that guy's a former cop.
And yeah. So as the guy's falling, as the guy's going down, he says, "I got the first three letters of the license plate."
Mm-hmm.
So it gets back to the station. They're working on it, but then as that's happening, this drunk lady comes in.
Oh yeah.
And Sipowicz says, "Hey, John, it's your favorite saucehead."
Yeah, I can't remember her name. She's really annoying.
Yeah, because she's coming in to try to get her husband arrested for beating her up.
And that woman,
she's a super alcoholic.
That woman comes up on the show two more times as different characters too.
Yeah.
She comes in and she's obviously drunk and she's given a sob story about how her husband hits her, but no one seems to care. So you're like, okay, well then what's this about? I mean, it's obviously a woman who's being beaten by her husband. And then basically Kelly and Sipowicz go, well, no, Sipowicz doesn't even talk to her, but Kelly basically says, look, are you going to actually charge him and then let it go to a hearing? Because every time we do this, you fill out a complaint and then you don't go through with it and we end up in the same position. So you come to find out like, oh, it's not like they don't care. It's just, she's wasted enough of their time. That they, like, it's the boy who cried wolf. Like, they're just done dealing with this woman. So they let
yeah.
it. They're like, we're just gonna let
and
it go.
Because doesn't Kelly say, like, okay, let's go get him? No, that's later.
That's later. That's
he
a
says,
later.
Let's go get him. And she's like, no.
Don't get him at
he's
work.
He's at work. Yeah. And Kelly's like, if we're doing this, we're doing this. Which I get, like, but it's hard to, like, keep wasting your time. If somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
if someone doesn't want to help themselves, eventually you got to ask yourself, am I helping them by wasting all this time? Or am I just wasting time?
Like, especially if she's enabling everything by being an alcoholic, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I get it. It's tough, but, I mean, anyways. So then this band's a manhunt and they find him.
Well, they find the driver, I think.
Yeah. And there's a shootout in his apartment.
And Kelly and Sipowicz pull an interrogation in an alley inside the car, where Sipowicz kind of puts on gloves and digs into his bullet wound.
Yeah, and keeps giving him shit for not saying anything.
And that's another thing that, like, when you watch now through the lens of police brutality, you're like, oh, no, this wouldn't fly now at all.
Yeah, but if it was
terrorism,
if it was your wife that was shot, how would you feel then?
Well, I mean, it's a different situation. Obviously, people, when it's in direct relation to them, they have more personal anger towards the problem. However, if you're talking about a television show that would be on TV, and they pull this guy into an alley, and then Sipowicz basically is like, oh, I'll just pull it out of you right now, rather than go to the hospital, because he has information on a cop killer, it wouldn't fly today at all.
But he would have never really pulled it out. He would have, the point is to get it to where he gives it up before it hurts, so.
But it already did hurt, obviously, for the way the guy was freaking out. But that's a discussion for a later date.
Yeah.
So they get, like, the name of this kid, and they start looking for him. And then we got another famous face who shows up at the squad room.
Mm-hmm.
I have his name. Norman Gardner is the name of the character.
Yeah, he's like a gossip columnist, TV show, like a TMZ type guy.
And he comes into the office, and he basically is like, can I speak to Fancy? I'm not going to waste his time because I don't waste mine. He's a fast talker. Obviously, everybody in the squad hates him except for Abbandando, because she doesn't realize like what a piece of shit he is. When all the other cops are like, oh, he's just here to suck blood to get some money out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he sits down with Fancy, and he basically says, like, hey, I want to bring him into the station.
Yeah, he has the guy, and he's brokering a deal because he wants some, like, publicity out of it.
And he basically says, like,
They kind of, in a weird way, show that media people don't really care about the outcome. They just kind of care about what they can get from it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he doesn't... Like
he puts it under the guise that he wants to help this guy out. But it's more about getting the publicity and, like, bringing him into the station. Like, Fancy's like, you can drop him off outside. He's like, no, I want to bring him in. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
His name's Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, he was the villain in Billy Madison.
For people who like more recent movies, he was also in Cabin in the Woods. He was one of the guys in the control room, if you've seen that movie. Very funny. And, you know, he's been stuff here and there. But basically, Fancy says, because the guy comes in and he has all these demands, like, I want to walk him through the entire booking process, I want to film it.
Yeah.
And then Fancy's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Fancy's like, Fancy basically kind of looks at him and goes, blow me. because Fancy basically can say, like, I'm going to hold you here impeding an investigation until you tell me where he is, or I'll just put you in jail instead, and then you'll have to tell me. So Fancy doesn't have to give him shit.
No.
Really.
No.
If he doesn't want to.
So then the guy basically starts begging for whatever he can get. So then Fancy's like, you are allowed to bring a camera crew inside the station and hand him over to the detectives who are running the case.
But I think Bradley Whitford's character knew that. And I think he went for the moon and then got whatever he could get type thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He highballed them super high, knowing that... Because any reporter worth... Any kind of salt knows he's not...
Worth his salt. Any, you know, newsie out there on the beat.
Getting those stories, Kyle. When I was a junior reporter for the Daily Planet...
When you were a junior reporter.
When I was a junior reporter for the Daily Planet, and then this alien destroyed my office, I thought to myself... No.
Oh, shit. I just got the Superman reference. I'm sorry. That was funny. That was my bad. That was funny, though.
I'll cut this out. I just watched Civil War last night. The really cool thing that happened is they got Spider-Man right. Like, he's actually 16 years old, and it's super cool. Other than that, the movie was really long, and I was like, I'm just kind of done with Marvel movies. But the Spider-Man shit was rad. That's
because everyone else is losing their mind over it.
It was really cool. Like, they did...
No. The movie itself, they're saying the best superhero movie. Best Captain America movie. Okay, just tell me this. I'm not going to care, because I don't think I'll ever see this movie.
Uh-huh.
Does Iron Man die?
No.
Damn it.
Iron Man doesn't die. War Machine doesn't die, even though he falls out of the fucking sky and then lands directly into the ground.
Uh-huh.
Like, he only gets, like, a spinal injury.
I know Ant-Man's in it. I know, like, a lot of the heroes were in it.
That's the problem. The only problem with the movie, the movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes because they needed to give screen time to every single hero that's been in the series, except for Hulk, who I wanted to see, and Thor, who's not there.
Well, Hulk has no beef with whether or not they should be registered or not.
I think it was a good movie overall.
Because that's their whole fight, right?
Well, it's half that. Basically, first it's being registered, and then and then once Captain America's fuzzy with it, they find out that Bucky is still alive. And then somebody frames Bucky for, like, a terrorist attack. So then, because they're now registered, the government asks them to go kill Bucky. But Captain America didn't sign it, so he actually helps Bucky. So then it becomes a mixture of that, the not signing and Bucky not being a real threat thing. It's not terrible. It's a good movie, I think. It's just way too long. And it became clear, like, oh shit, they needed to give, like, 45 minutes to every single person in this movie, and there's a lot of fucking people.
So, I just don't give a fuck about that stuff. So.
The fighting was really cool, and the Spider-Man shit was, like, on point. It was really, really good. Also, when they had the part where Tony Stark talks to Peter Parker in Peter Parker's room, and that was really funny. Because, like, they have Peter Parker playing 16, and they have Tony Stark just being super awesome, Robert Downey Jr., so it's just funny. Anyway, back to the show. What were we even talking about? Oh, he was bringing him into the station. He was highballing him, because he was like, I know I'm not going to be able to do that much, but if I pester him enough, I'll be able to get inside the squad room.
Yeah.
But I don't think he really, like, got really what he wanted, because all the questions he asked were not answered. He looked like a total dick in the video. Like, at least by my standard.
But he also made the cops look bad, because they wouldn't even answer, you know, questions. But he's also going off of not really, like, giving all the info of what happened. You know, there's falsehoods on both sides, I guess you could say.
Because he said the phrase, didn't you tell him that his life would be less at risk in the station than on the street? Is that a threat? And, like, random things like that.
Yeah.
But then, eventually, he's asking all these questions, then Sipowicz comes down and says, how about you, nobody said anything about your safety, so how about you get out of here, you sucked enough blood today. And yeah. I think that moment right there just proves, like, oh, this guy's the dickhead. Because they're trying to do their job, and this guy's in the way.
Sipowicz hates the press, too. It's kind of funny.
Sipowicz don't like shit that fucks with his cases, man. That's the deal. I'm trying to think of other...
So, what I find weird about bringing LaSalle in is, like, it seems like they're bringing her in for more than just, like, one episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they immediately kill her husband, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to take some leave. You know, I'm going to take some time off, because my husband was killed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why did you bring her in?
Well, like that's...
Like, couldn't you have killed her husband in, like, the next episode?
Well, that's the unfortunate thing, is, like, you have this character that you're going to add to the show. Like, obviously, she gets introduced. She has a desk, like, she's gonna be a part of the crew in some way, and then immediately go, yeah, well, she's not gonna be around for, like, three episodes. Or two episodes, because her husband just died. It's, So, one of the funny, lines, was, basically, there's downstairs...
Sorry, I didn't know it was that loud, my bad.
They're downstairs with the reporter... And then the reporter says, hey, you guys are doing the case. I appreciate what you do. It's just your guys' time in the barrel, blah, blah, blah. Trying to act like he gives a shit. And
no, I think, see, that's where I differ with you a little bit. I don't think he was being totally jerky there. Because I think when he gets on screen, it's a performance. You know what I mean? Like, in a weird way, it's kind of his... I don't know how to say it, but it's kind of his, like, his play, his movie character. It's a character that he plays, and that's what he does, and he kind of plays that douchey guy. And I think he was being sincere, saying, like, hey, like, it's just, like, tomorrow it'll be somebody else. Today it's you. Like, it's just how it is. That's the way I took that, but...
I think the line that proves that that's not true is he goes, hey, you know, if you want to take a picture with me for your families, which is kind of like, fuck you, why would I want to take a picture with you? Like, you're making my day harder for no reason. I think that's the moment where you realize, oh, he's just a piece of shit. Because what kind of asshole, like, really fucks up these guys' day to find a dude that killed someone and then go, oh, do you want to take a picture with me? I mean, I am on TV and you guys are just cops. I think that was the line.
Okay, I can see that.
I also could see that he fed that line to the guy. Because the guy comes into the... Because he's like, I'm going to bring the guy in, and then there's lights and there's cameras and such.
Yeah.
And he goes...
It gets really weird. It gets really, like...
political and stupid.
No, the way that... Yeah, but the way they're filming it is it gets really... like... handheld camera-y, black and white, like...
Yeah, it's...
It was really weird.
But the guy comes in, and he goes, I'm a scapegoat. Like, they needed someone that's poor and white, and I fit the bill, and they don't give a shit about me, and it was like, what? Like, you shot a cop, and like they're pretty sure it's you. Like,
that was my favorite part. I'm poor and white. It's like, dude, you're white, though, so you're better off than most people. Like,
you're being a poor white male is being a poor anything else, really.
Yeah. Yeah, being a poor white male is still a step above being a poor, yeah. It's like, anyways. But yeah.
Well, we've introduced a new female character.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's our duty as we go through the series to play a little...
Okay.
To play a little MFK.
Okay.
And I don't know, like, when we first toyed with the idea of doing this show, I wrote down two different lists after this episode. First one was Abbandando, Costas, and LaSalle. Mary...
LaCalcy?
No, LaSalle, the new girl.
Abbandando, Costas, LaSalle? Oh.
Mary, fuck, kill.
Mary, Costas.
I mean, that's there, no shock there.
Kill LaSalle. And then, yeah, with Abbandando.
I love how
I feel bad for LaSalle's kids.
Yeah, but you don't want to be no dad. You don't want to be no... oh, she won't have...
It's just like, it's just out of all of them, she's in third place. It's kind of a bummer.
Alright.
Wait, if I marry Costas, does she still get... Oh, we can't talk about that yet.
And then I got another one with LaSalle. How about LaCalcy, Kelly's wife, and
LaSalle?
Yeah, and LaSalle. LaCalcy.
Oh, kill LaCalcy, hands down.
Kelly's wife and LaSalle.
Mary LaSalle.
And just bone.
She seemed like she had like could keep a relationship. Kelly's wife couldn't. She's like crazy. She's too needy. Like, you see how needy she is sometimes? Like, even in these episodes, I think there's an episode, the next couple episodes, you see her neediness come out.
Well, she needs that John Kelly, Kyle. She needs that John Kelly in her life, you know what I'm saying?
I guess, I mean, if you like orange popsicles, I guess.
Let me see, is there anything else that happened today? I mean, happened in this episode?
Well, there's a lot of things that happened, like, today. Like, just in life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But
I think we covered that episode.
I think the main feature of the episode was really the side boob out of Abbandando. I like...
That was the main episode was Greg left his wife, and then it kind of didn't really work out.
And of course the woman at her new job, her husband dies first day.
Yeah, dies that day. And, like, who gets a job the first day and then has the balls to go, hey, my husband's gonna come in, like, 10 minutes and take me out to breakfast?
No, it was lunch. And she
asked... Or lunch, and you need to be cool with that.
She didn't say it like that, she asked.
I know, but it's like, who has the balls to do that? It's your first day, like...
But it's, from what I understand, he's a very well-respected guy in that department. Everybody knows who he is, that's why they freak out once he gets shot. And this is also, I mean, this goes back to my theory, and it's a running theory throughout the show, that the cops work harder and they go harder when the victim is one of their own. Because, like, once they found out, like, they were turning over, like, every idea, and they were going over this and that woman later comes back, the, I forget her name, the drunk woman?
The drunk woman. Well, the drunk husband comes back.
And he
has a videotape, and he's like, watch this, Detective Kelly, she's a bitch, she starts fights. And then Kelly dismisses it, and then she comes back all fucking crazy. And then she admits to stabbing her husband with a screwdriver.
Was it a screwdriver? Didn't she cut herself, too?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think she came in...
She stabbed somebody.
I think she came in and she had slices on her arms. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly basically goes like, okay, let's talk about it. And they talk about it. And then she basically goes like, yeah, he hurt me. So then I got a knife and I stabbed him and I killed him. And LaSalle's kind of losing her mind because she just lost her husband and she would never... Like, I think that was kind of the foil to that losing your husband story was she lost her husband because he was, I mean, trying to be a nice guy, but he only put his gun on the black guy in a possible robbery. And she stabbed her husband because they're drunks and they don't know how to communicate or just end their shitty relationship.
Fair enough.
But what I love, like, because I watched the robbery scene twice where the husband gets shot, and we touched on it a little bit, but she sees the robbery happen from where she's sitting in the restaurant. She's watching it through, and his back is to the robbery. She kind of, like, perks up, kind of like a dog who hears, like, somebody's coming home. She perks up. And she sees what looks like the makings of a robbery. Guys pull up, got masks on and guns. They run into the room. And she basically tells the owner of the place, get 911 on the phone. She starts talking to him. And her husband goes outside.
Yeah. He is a shitty cop.
Yeah, that was like the worst way to handle that situation.
He had no idea. Like, he knew nothing.
He knew absolutely nothing about what was happening.
He didn't know what any of the perps looked like. He went straight for someone who was black, and they're all white.
And he, like, basically this guy, and it sucks because he left his job as a cop to be, like, head of security at some university. Like, a cush job that probably pays better.
No, Kirk, not just any university, the university.
Oh, because they don't say that it's at a university.
That's what they keep saying, the university.
It's at the university, the Technical Houston Expressway University. Get it? The. I was trying to come up with a better acronym, and I couldn't. But he basically, it shows that it's a good thing he retired, because I don't want that dude ripping runs and stopping bad guys. He just...
Yeah, and did he look super old?
He did look a little old. But that's...
Like, he looked like he was in his 60s, but they were talking like... Like, they, it's weird. They were talking like they were getting ready to retire, but their kids are like 4 and 6.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was really weird.
But this show does that a lot. Like, there are a couple episodes in the future where it's just old dudes with younger-looking women, and it doesn't seem to make any sense. And they try to explain it away through dialogue, but I don't know if it really works.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts as we close up Season 1, Episode 13? Besides side boob?
Yeah, no, not really.
Hashtag surprise boob.
Like, this episode actually gave, like, a secondary character more of the runtime. Like, he was more of the focal point of the episode, I feel like. So, yeah, he's the one. Cool. He's it was whatever. One. I mean, a Metavoid got lucky, I guess.
And I will. There was one thing that happened, like heavyweight acting moment. This woman who just joined the show has to pull this scene where she goes into the room with the guy that killed her husband. And he, like, she grabs the picture of the kids. And is like, oh, you see this? You see, recognize that? Like, that was the man that you shot the other day. And you took him away from his children. You took away the father of their children. And she's, like, fighting through tears and stuff. And I was like, wow, like, she just got here.
Yeah. She gets all up in his face. Like, it makes him feel bad.
Like, it's almost like they're going for, like, not so much Simone death, but they're going for, like almost Andy's son's death, but we don't know anything about her husband or her kids, you know?
Yeah, it was weird. Like, yeah, I just don't understand why bringing someone in...
Just to kill...
Just to kill off their husband, you know what I meant?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening. This has been NYPD Blue Balls on the AsherBrothersPodcast.com, where you can go there to see all the episodes. We're on Asher Bros Pod on Twitter.
We're dot com'd up.
Kyle, AsherBrothersPodcast.com has existed since the beginning. Since the beginning of the show.
I didn't know we were dot com'd up.
Oh, we're dot com'd up, Kyle. We're dot com'd up. And then, if you have the time and the ability, it'd be really cool. Sorry. It'd be really cool if you went to iTunes and rated and reviewed, because that's how people see podcasts on the main screen of iTunes. And it would be nice to let other people know that there are two random dudes from California talking about NYPD Blue for seemingly no reason other than it being...
Hey, if you guys have suggestions for Kirk to be better at his job, leave them.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I'm killing it, so... Yeah.
Thank you. And Kyle, do you have anything to recommend?
No.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. I mean, house. Mm-hmm. But the house is getting wonky for me. I don't get it.
That's the difference between good shows and okay shows. Good shows they don't get wonky ever, like the Blue. But
well, I mean, spoiler alert, he's like fighting his Vicodin addiction. So I don't know how I feel about that. Because his Vicodin addiction made him, like, a superhero. But we'll see. Anyways.
All right. Later, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Asher Brothers Podcast, if you listened. Of course, if you somehow skipped to the exact moment I began to give the plug for the show, congratulations. You experienced a random moment in time where everything lined up. A moment of serendipity, if you will. Congratulations. As for me, I'm here to tell you that every single episode of the Asher Brothers Podcast is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com. They are also on Twitter, @AsherBrosPod, and by they, I mean Kirk, because Kyle does not do Twitter. We are doing NYPD Blue Balls right now, that is available on iTunes and Stitcher. We're going through every single episode of NYPD Blue Balls, if you can't tell from the content of this episode. Thanks for listening. Enjoy yourself. Be good to one another. Do what makes you happy. Be a better person. Enjoy your week, your month, your year, your life, the lives you create, the lives you destroy, in the pursuit of immortality.